A new season, haven't you? Rabbi and Rebbetzin Levine, they've done a wonderful job. The Lord's just done wonders through them in building this congregation. And I was just talking to Bob this morning, you know, without a successor, there's really no success. And so I'm so glad that you've entered into this next season as well. And both Chantal and I think highly of Rabbi and Rebbetzin Jude and Jen. And we just see that this is all part of God's plan to take you to the next phase of the great things that He wants to do in you, and especially, and you know you're always going to hear this from me, through you, because He's the light of the world, He lives in us, and we are called to be lights in the world. And though darkness is covering the earth, anybody notice that? Though darkness is covering the earth, it is time to rise and shine like never before, not to put our heads in the sand, not to go hiding and store away our food for me, myself, and I, but to let our light shine, our generous hearts full of love, our generous hearts full of practical service and help. It's time to let it go like never before, because if you've taken notice of the world around you, you've noticed that many people are living in quiet desperation and great confusion. We don't even know in many parts of our nation the difference between a boy and a girl anymore. I mean, when I was growing up, I couldn't imagine that such a thing would occur, you know? And I've heard there's over 60 genders on Facebook now, you know? So there's a lot of quiet desperation and confusion out there, and people are looking for genuine lovers, and we have the supernatural lover living in us. They're looking for genuine, servant-hearted people who are going to really connect. First we connect this way, then we connect that way, and care. Not about our political agenda first. Be an informed voter. Not about our political agenda first. Be an informed voter. But care about people, because the Son of Man came for what? So that none of them would perish, but have eternal life. To have that fullness of life here on earth and life forevermore. And so, this is what we're all about, right? And I don't know what to call this next thing that I'm going to say before I dig in a little bit more to the message. I don't know what to call this, an impression or a prophetic insight. It was a weird feeling when we were worshiping and I was looking around when the Torah was going around. It's kind of like you got a bunch of teenagers here, you know, and somehow in the natural it looked like, you know, what's going to happen, you know, like with teenagers and young adults, like, you know, but somehow, like with different eyes, I just saw that God wanted to really explode here with teenagers and young adults. Yeah. And, you know, let me just say something else about this. I've learned this in walking 42 years with the Lord, that, you know, God is often ready. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready to pay the price? Are we ready to give ourselves to the task? That's the question. Are we ready to pray and sacrifice in the way that it's required? And we always must ask ourselves that question, re-ask ourselves that question in 2020. Are we ready to come out of our comfort zones, both physically and spiritually, to make the sacrifices necessary to see the will of God, the dream of God, accomplished? And I believe He wants to do something, with teenagers and young adults. And, you know, statistics here, we do a lot of research here in America. Statistics say that most people come to the Lord before they're 25 years old, you know. Thank God we're seeing lots of them come afterwards, but most come before they're 25 and younger. So, you know, Father, we just pray into that. And I just want to remind myself of who God is as we pray. Remember, I'm little, and so are you. And he's big. He's not our size. He's not our strength. He's not our wisdom. He's not our amount of love. You know, he's big. And that's why we can dream big things. We can take hold of big things from him, right? Big dreams from him, because we understand without him, they won't happen. But when we lean on him and do our part in our own broken way, each one of us are a little broken. Anybody else here broken beside this Jewish boy from New York? Okay, so is everybody out there. And the rest of you, come see me. I'll explain to you why you are also. Okay, and so, you know, we depend upon him to get these big things done that are bigger and beyond us. So I'm just going to pray to that big God that we serve. Father, it's always good for me to remind myself how big and glorious you are. How when Yeshua manifests himself to Yohanan on that island, his eyes were like fire, his face shone like the sun in the brightness of day. He was beyond anything that we could imagine, and yet he's so holy and powerful. Yeshua, you are so holy and powerful, yet at the same time you come to dwell with us in mercy and in kindness, and you want to use us to glorify your name and to bring many into the kingdom of God, to make disciples of the people of Israel and the nations. And we pray into this little understanding, or whatever it was that you gave me, that you want to do something with teenagers and young adults. I pray light fires, Lord, both here and out there, and give strategic understanding to Rabbi Jude and to the other leaders on how to go after this, Lord, because you are a strategic God. And you have plans. Thank you so much in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Well, for those of you who don't know too much about us, my wife Chantal is my best friend, partner in ministry. We're now married 40 years, and I told you last time we're going for 12 grandkids. We only had 9 then, 1 for each of the tribes of Israel. Well, we're up to 10 now, so keep praying. We're going to make it. 12, yeah. And this is our 25th year now of international ministry. And we have great teams that God enabled us to raise up in Belarus, which is located between Russia and Poland, where God empowered us to plant 4 Messianic Jewish congregations. We have a great team in India where we have our training and outreach center, and we have just a great team in the land of Israel that are serving Holocaust survivors in many cities in the land of Israel. And I really want to encourage you to read this newsletter. Somebody came over to me this morning, said this is the best piece we've ever put out. I got to give credit to my daughter Sarah. She's our third of our 4 kids. It was her inspiration. And she wrote many of these articles. We gathered the info, but she wrote the head article, the lead article, and then put together the other ones. And I guarantee you, you're going to be inspired not only for what God is doing through the Reach Initiative International team around the world, but you are going to be inspired for what God wants to do through you here. So I encourage you. Did everybody get a copy? If you didn't, raise your hand. We have outstanding ushers. Ushers, 1, 2, 3, 4. Whoa, we missed a lot, people. I just said you were outstanding, but you're really good anyway. Okay. Yes. So, folks, keep your hands up if you're able. and then, you know, bend and stretch and reach for the... Okay, so let's get a couple ushers working on that one here, here, and there, and let's get folks that newsletter. You are going to be inspired. So 25 years of international ministry, and just last year the Lord asked me to start doing a weekly radio show called Your Jewish Connection with Rabbi Stewart. You can go to our website, reachii.org, to find out more about that if you want to get a little bit more from this guy, Rabbi Stewart. By the way, I just recorded two sessions on the sanctity of human life, because Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, no talking, only giving and taking. Thank you. Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is coming up in January, and I did two sessions on that. I really think they're going to be, they're important to listen to. And then International Holocaust Remembrance Day is at the end of this month, January 27th, and I did two sessions on that, and those will come out a little later, but all the archived videos and audios you can find on our website, reachii.org, or your preferred podcast platform. I learned that from the young guys, how to say that. Your preferred podcast platform. Doesn't that sound good? All right. Yeah. Okay. So not long ago, I think this is kind of our habit, not long ago Chantal and I just got back from 2 months ministering in those three nations and strengthening our team, and we're going soon again also, so that's kind of our routine. And when we were in Israel, I was just reminded of the words of David Ben-Gurion. He said, in Israel, in order to be a realist, you must believe in miracles. And he was not a religious guy, so to speak, and but in order to be a realist in the nation of Israel, you must believe in miracles. Am Yisrael Chai. Amen? And speaking of being a realist, in God's kingdom, you and I are members of God's kingdom, born again into that kingdom. In order to be a realist, you got to believe in miracles. And the only reason the kingdom of God doesn't expand is because we just believe that things can only happen through our ability and our power, and then we kind of lose dependency on the great and faithful God and put our faith in Him to do great things in us, around us, and through us that are beyond our own natural abilities and wisdom. And I encourage you, let Him stretch you out again in 2020 in new ways, because He wants to do great things in you and through you. Whether you're 8 years old or 88 years old or 108 years old, okay? You know, that's why He's keeping you on this earth. All right, so let's go for it. I want to tell you a little story before I dig into this message entitled Five Loaves and Two Fish. Five Loaves and Two Fish, and the story goes like this. 5 years ago, we began our Comfort for Holocaust Survivors ministry in Israel. We've been serving survivors in Belarus for 25 years, and we will continue to do that for as long as we live on the earth, because the Lord commissioned us to serve as many Holocaust survivors as He will enable us for as long as they are on the earth, and we have taken that to heart. And so I developed a good friendship with, I'll call him Shmuel for confidentiality. With Shmuel, he's one of the national leaders. He's one of the leaders of the National Association representing Russian-speaking Holocaust survivors in the land of Israel. And when I first met Shmuel, he was a confirmed, affirmed atheist. But over time, he started thinking. He said, well, Stuart seems to have a little brains, and Victor, this other Jewish member of our, male member of our team, seems, we both had have friendships with him, seemed to have some sense. So maybe this Jewish Messiah idea, this Jesus Yeshua being the Jewish Messiah, is a possibility. And so about a year and a half ago, I had the opportunity to spend time with Shmuel in his apartment 2 days in a row, opening the Bible and taking a look at what the scriptures say about life, God, Messiah. And at the end of those 2 days, we have a very open relationship, friendship. I said, "So what do you think? Where are you at?" And he said, "Well, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting close." And then his wife had a tragic situation where she had a stroke, a heart attack, and almost drowned in the Mediterranean Sea all at once. And our team, especially Victor, he stayed very close to Shmuel, calling him every day. Our team was always there to support and help. And this really impressed him, just being there and loving. Nothing for ourselves, everything for them. And not so long ago, we were having some tea and snacks in a cafe, and I said to Shmuel, I'll have a word of prayer before we dig into our food and drink. And he said, "No, I'll pray." And out of his mouth, I'm telling you, here's a man that has suffered so much, out of his mouth came a river of thanksgiving in the name of Yeshua. And my message today, called Five Loaves and Two Fish, is going to illustrate and hopefully inspire you, not only, again, for what's happening around the world through our Reach Initiative team, but inspire you for some things that God has planned for you in 2020. I want to read that story from the book of Yochanan, John, chapter 6, verse 5 through 13. And this is Yeshua. He's lifting up his eyes and seeing a large crowd coming to him. We're looking at verse 5 through 13, chapter 6. Another gospel says he had compassion on the crowd. He was often moved by compassion. Compassion. That's a big word. In Russian, it's sastradania, to suffer with compassion. He had compassion on the crowd. And he said to Philip, Yeshua said to Philip, "Where will we buy bread so these may eat?" Now, Yeshua was saying this to test him. You know, sometimes God tests us to find out where our thinking and our heart is. And he was saying this to test him, for he knew what he was about to do. And Philip answered him in a very natural way, "Oh, 200 denarii isn't enough to buy bread for each to get a little bit." We often answer God in a very natural way. I have learned to train myself that my natural answers to God often are inadequate. Often are inadequate. One of his disciples, Andrew, Shimon Kefa's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what's that for so many?" Yeshua said, "Make the people recline." There was much grass in the area, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Yeshua picked up the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed bread to everyone who was reclining. He did the same with the fish, as much as they wanted. And when the people were full, Yeshua said to his disciples, verse 12, "Gather up the leftovers so nothing is wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had finished eating. Now, by the way, just a little side note, verse 12 proves that Yeshua was Jewish. I can hear my Jewish grandmother and my Jewish mom saying, "Gather up all the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." Okay, that's your proof text, okay, for Yeshua being Jewish. Okay, so let's take a look at this story a little bit more. There's this little boy, his Jewish mama gave him some lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fish. And this little boy, you know, I think he probably said, "I'm looking forward to my lunch." But somehow he said, "Okay, well, I'll take a risk and give it to Yeshua. I might go hungry," but, you know, he gave it over. He gave it over. You know, so often we're we're holding on. But Yeshua's life, Yeshua's way is to give it over. To give it over, because then what happens? This little boy, an unlikely candidate, becomes a solution to a problem. Unlikely candidate. Not only does he get fed, but more than 5,000 others get fed. Because Yeshua took what he had and he multiplied it. Yeshua took what he gave him and he multiplied it. And all these people got fed from his little lunch. And Yeshua got the glory. And I think I'm like this little boy. What do I have? 5 loaves, 2 fish. But when I put it into his hands, something happens. Something happens. And some of you say, well, I did that and it didn't happen. Okay, do it again. You know, we all have circumstances that don't work out exactly the way we expect them. That's not a reason to quit. You know, I'm more determined than ever, 42 years walking with the Lord. I'm more determined than ever to give Yeshua my 5 loaves and 2 fish every day. Every day, so that his supernatural multiplication and provision will bless my family, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and the people around that are hungry, hurting, and the lost of Israel and the nations. His love in me requires it. His love in you requires it as well. He wants to feed the people around us, through us, not just physically with food, yes, physically, practically, but also spiritually. You know, if you listen to some of the modern so-called Bible teachers today, you get the feeling that our faith is either a philosophical system of helpful teachings and moral values, principles that we apply to live a better life, a more prosperous and healthy life. That God is the great Santa Claus in the sky. And this is the abundant life. Well, I got news for those Bible teachers. The abundant life is walking in intimacy with Yeshua, carrying his heart for the lost and broken of this world, and being willing to share in his sufferings in order to share in his glory. It's the best life. It's the best life. And that's the abundant life. And I'm all for him pouring out practical, material, and financial blessings on you. But that's kind of a symptom of the abundant life. It's not the focus of the abundant life. Are you with me? And if he chooses, like the Apostle Paul, it's sometimes to cause you to go through temporary lack. You can say with him, I've been there. I know how to live in abundance. I know how to live in lack. With little and much. So let those rivers of living water, those rivers of life and love, those Sukkot, rivers of life and love flow through us like never before in through 2020. You know, we're talking about 5 loaves and fish, our 5 loaves and 2 fish. And of course, when we're speaking of that, we're talking about our time, our talent, and our resources. God wants us to give our time, our talent, and our resources to him freely. But you know, the Bible, when we understand the Bible, we understand, first of all, God wants us to give ourselves. How much of ourselves? All of it. And then the time, talent, and resources is just an outflow of us giving him all of ourselves. Do you agree with that? Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we keep learning this lesson over and over and over again. And I'm glad that Yeshua keeps renewing it in me, And 25 years ago, he had another opportunity in our lives, and he called us to move with our four children to the broken land of Belarus, where people were totally discouraged after 70 years of communism. And $60 to $80 a month was the average wage. Not enough to feed a couple normally, let alone a whole family. And God called us to go there. And when we went there, people who had left and immigrated to America said, "We're all running from there. Why are you going there?" To give our five loaves and two fish. And I want to invite my wife up to share with you a little bit more about that. I'm going to put your mic on here for you.
Shabbat Shalom. So sometimes I wonder if we're not the fish or the loaves, because it feels like, wow, you know, there's not much that we have, and we have to give it all. But I just wanted to share something that is interesting. When I came into the sanctuary today, there was little kids that were playing with the dreidels, you know, the dreidel game, and it just reminded me of a Hanukkah many years ago when we lived in Belarus, and we gathered the leadership of Holocaust Survivors Association, about 16 Holocaust survivors every month, and we would celebrate feasts, have Bible studies with them, and share about Yeshua and give them an opportunity to ask their questions. And during the Hanukkah season, we pulled out the dreidels and we found, you know, some little candies and stuff. And we taught them how to play dreidel. And, you know, it was so, like, there was so much fun, but at the same time, there was this bittersweet thing in our hearts because it was their first time playing dreidel. The reason is because they had no childhood. You know, they were children during the Holocaust, and there was no childhood. And after that, under communism, you know, like all of the Jewish practices were, you know, eradicated from the country. And so this was a very, you know, special opportunity that we had to reintroduce them to their own traditions. 25 years ago, the Lord called us to Belarus with our four kids. We didn't know the language, we didn't know the culture. This wasn't the kind of thing that we were preparing ourselves for a couple of years. It was a very fast call after we had gone on a festival with Jonathan Bernis, and the Lord right there and then said, "You have to come back." So we had to go back home, tell our children that we're moving to this foreign land that, you know, most of us didn't even know existed until then. And you know, it was hard. We weren't really feeling equipped for the task, but because it's a call of God, we gave him who we were and what we had and the little experience we had, and God guided us through it. And I remember my daughter, actually the one that wrote the article, when all the other, our other kids, you know, they were a little bit resistant, but, you know, they trusted us. But she said, "Well, finally we're going somewhere where something is happening." she's that word, red hair, fiery girl. And so we went there, and, you know, it just, when it's the Lord and when he calls us, we really don't have to fear, because he will meet us. And the bigger the task that's beyond what we can do, the more of his grace and help comes. I remember thinking, like, all what we experienced, even in the first month, because we ended up renting a place, but we didn't know really what was happening in the garage, because we were forbidden to go to the garage. And after 10 days, we realized that it's an illegal distillery in the garage. Big distillery. And it was a little bit like, you know, not appropriate for us to stay there, so we ended up moving after 10 days. There was all kinds of things that happened, and the Lord, you know, showed himself strong through all these experience. And also, we went there to gather the lost sheep of the house of Israel and to bring them to the Messiah. But like I said before, because their Jewishness was stolen from them, we also had to help them and restore them. And we felt like the task is so big, and where do you start? But God was teaching us and helping us. On top of it, the economy was so bad in Belarus that us coming from the West, we had to help the people. Just to tell them, you know the Lord and be well is not good enough. We had to help them. You know, some we had to clothe and some we had to feed. And the Lord, you know, just say, open your hands and I'll fill it up. And he did. And he made us a channel, you know, of provision and blessing for the people in Belarus.
And while she's taking a drink, and I just want to add that all of that happened also because there were people like you and congregations like this one, the one that Rabbi Jude was leading in Savannah, that stand with us, that were praying for us and sacrificing and giving financially as our partners to help us to minister to those that were less fortunate. So thank you. You've been faithful supporters, this congregation and many of you individually, I know. I want to thank you right now for standing with us all through these years. And we're moving on, so please continue to stand with us.
Yeah, the kingdom work is a teamwork, and we're a body, and we all do our part, and that's how it works. And it's true, yes, thank you for your support, for your prayers throughout all of our time in ministry in the world. And I just want to share a few stories that also happened at that time. During the first year and a half of the ministry, many people were coming to the Lord. Actually, our congregation was all people that came to the Lord through our ministry, pretty much, except for only a few. And there was one lady that had come to the Lord, and she was taking the little that she was getting, you know, every Shabbat, the knowledge she had. And she had a neighbor that was a shut-in. She would visit him. This man had had a stroke. His name was Mikhail Israelovich. And he was paralyzed for 4 years in bed, had only a nephew that would visit him from time to time and maybe bring him food. Otherwise, he was, you know, alone, totally alone. And this woman was visiting him. She would help clean, cook a little bit, and share with him what she was learning. And after not too long, she came to us and she said, well, Mikhail Israelovich gave his life to Yeshua and he wants to be immersed. And so we're like, wow, great. And so the man in the congregation went to his house. We figured it's easier to do it, you know, in his bathtub. We can't take him somewhere else. And so they went and they carried him to the bathtub and he was immersed. And when they were ready to carry him out, he said, no. He's like, I'm going to walk. And he got out and he walked. He walked and nobody prayed for his healing. That was the funny thing.
No faith of mine or anybody else's. It was
nobody
his.
Prayed
he
for
believed.
His healing. Nobody thought about it. I mean, it was already a big thing to, you know, that he came to the Lord and immersed him. But he believed that after his water procedure, he would be well. And he was, because he heard that Yeshua heals. Yeshua healed. He's alive today. He can heal him today, and he can heal us today. And so after this story, I thought, well, we have to do something. There's other people that even if we make the greatest invitation, they could never come to us. We have to go to them because they're, you know, like Israel, Israelovich, Mikhailovich, they can be shut in. So we started this ministry. I thought about ladies that are not working and they're, you know, retired, so they have a little bit of time and they still have strength to do something. And that's how we started to serve these people. And over the years, we've seen many, many, many come to the Lord through this ministry. More than 100 Jewish elderly, most of them elderly people, have come to the Lord. Many of them are dancing with him now in heaven. And so, but I remember also that at one point we needed more people to help because really we were getting more referrals. And this retired woman, her name is Tatiana, she was 70, but I thought she looked strong. You know, she looks like she can do it. And I asked her, would you serve in this ministry? We called it Chesed Ministry. And she said, oh, well, I'm like, you know, I don't know so much. I didn't go to Bible school. I don't know the scriptures so well. And I'm old and, you know, it goes on. And so I said, well, I think you will like it if you start. So why don't you try one time a week? And she did. And she brought her two fish and loaf of bread, and she started to serve one time a week, then 2 days a week, 3 days a week. And then she became part of our, you know, full-time team that serve in that way. She served until she was 81 years old. And every time I would go back to Minsk and I would see her, she looked like she never aged. And so, you know, and she really didn't have so much to offer in the natural, but God was pouring himself through her, and through her also many people came to know Yeshua. Many people. She was an instrument.
Hallelujah.
You know, so she fed herself and she was feeding others with her two fish and five loaves. And so, you know, and we see that, you know, that's the same as the story of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
The story of Hanukkah is also a story of two loaves and fish. Five
loaves, two fish.
Yes.
Amen. Well, thank you for sharing that. My best friend and partner in ministry, Chantal, thank you. You know, another part of the ministry that really illustrates how people took their five loaves and two fish is our ministry to Holocaust survivors. And before I show that to you, some of you have seen this video, but I just felt like it's okay to see it again. It moves me every time I've seen it, and I've seen it many times. But you know, for those of you who are watching online, if you want to get this newsletter, it's called The Ripple Effect of God's Calling, Ripple Effect of Answering God's Call. Just contact us and say you want the newsletter. Contact us through reachii.org. Okay, I want to show this video. These are Holocaust survivors sharing what our ministry, and you have a part in it as you partner with us, means to them. Have some sound, folks. Thank you.
Спасибо большое вашей общине за помощь, что меня не забывают, что меня опекают, молятся за мое здоровье. Самое лучшее пожелание. Они помогали в свое время моей сестре, но она уже умерла, сестра. Очень много помогали. И сейчас они ко мне ходят, и я их всех люблю и жду всегда с удовольствием.
This is ordinary people like you and me taking their five loaves and two fish, and God does extraordinary things. Both Lucia and her sister are with Yeshua.
Виктория очень часто звонит, приходит и уделяет внимание. И то, что вы делаете, это неоценимый вклад.
Five loaves, two fish, just giving our time and attention and love, letting Yeshua do his work.
Он дороже мне, чем целый день, когда я сижу один.
Many people, like Holocaust survivors, feel lonely and forgotten. You can fill that void just like our team does in Israel and in Belarus.
Благодарю за подарок, но самое важное – это не сам подарок, а то, что оказывает внимание.
So many of them repeat the same thing. Thank you for the material, practical help. We take them to doctor's appointments, help them clean, but it's the love, time, and attention.
Я даже сохраняю все открытки, все поздравления, которые Стюарт и Шанталь нам присылают. Вот это что такое Брит Хаташа? А это за все годы. Открытки, поздравительные. Мы больше узники, ни от кого их не получаем.
Think of it, her heart is so moved just by 5 loaves, 2 fish writing a card on the holidays. What's that?
Она приходит ко мне, ну, бывает несколько раз в неделю. Мы с ней тут пьем чай, читаем Библию. Она мне приносит литературу, которая мне открыла глаза на многие вещи. Я, будучи офицером, я занимался, у меня была нагрузка такая, занимался атеизмом. Сейчас я от этого отказался, я верю в Бога. Я знаю, что Бог один, я знаю, что у него Сын Божий есть, я им всем доверяю.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can applaud the Lord taking our 5 loaves and 2 fish. More than 60 Holocaust survivors have prayed to receive Yeshua. 14 in the last 12 months. And you know what? Most of them are reading the Bible, praying, moving forward a little bit. You don't move too fast in your 80s and 90s and 100, but they're moving forward. Why? Because our team stays close like family. And I just want to share with you an opportunity. In your newsletter, you have a card. We're trusting for more monthly partners. Monthly partners are kind of like the strength of our financial aspect of the ministry, help us to plan and expand. Above your tithes and offerings here, I believe in the congregation, local congregation, not in place of your tithes and offerings in your local congregation, but if God, either out of your abundance or ask you to sacrifice, you can use this card to say, God put this sum on my heart to support your work amongst the survivors and others month after month. So please consider that opportunity to partner with us. I know some of you already do, but I'd appreciate you all considering that. And again, above your tithes and offerings here. I want to show you two more little loaves and fish projects. Would you put up the Sunrise Messianic Center collage, please, the one in India? Okay, many of you are familiar with this. This is our guest house training and outreach center in the Himalayan mountains, where we're ministering to some of the 40,000 young Israelis that travel to India every single year. Most Israelis have never heard the gospel. Most Israelis have never heard the gospel. And we're doing our part to change that. And I want to share an opportunity with you young folks, 25 to 21 to 35-ish. We have volunteer opportunities here at Sunrise from April to October. If you're interested, come talk to me or my wife or reach out to us on our website, reachii.org. 21 to 35-ish. We'd like to see some folks from Kol Mashiach up with us in 2020, so please consider that opportunity. And I want to show you one more thing, an exciting thing that's happening in Belarus. Can we get that next collage up? God put on our hearts and the leadership in our congregation in Minsk to build the first ever Messianic Jewish synagogue and ministry center in the history of the nation of Belarus. And so this building up here on the top left, 10,800 square feet, will seat 500, will be a center for all of our outreach work and humanitarian work. My wife designed this with an architect. Over here, you can see on the lower left, we dug out. Right there next to it, we have the basement and foundation built. Over on the right, lower right, you can see we're already putting up the roof. And the roof is up, and the windows and outside doors have gone in. Members of our congregations are sacrificing, average wage $350 a month to get this built. But we're looking also for friends from more prosperous nations like America to help out. So if God moves you to help out with that, we would appreciate it. So let me conclude with these words from the book of Judges, story of Gideon. You can read his story in Judges chapter 6. It was a time when Israel was being impoverished by their enemies, the Midianites, physically impoverished, hunger, desperate times. Our people, the Jewish people, are spiritually impoverished. Less than 2% of our people know the love and salvation of Messiah Yeshua. When God first came to Gideon, Gideon's response was something like this: "No, the Lord's not with us. That's why we're in such a mess." God ignored him. He ignored what Gideon said. And then he said to him, "Go in the strength you have. Take your 5 loaves and 2 fish, Gideon. Go in the strength that you have and save Israel." And then he added the key word, "And I will be with you." And we know that Gideon had many doubts and fears, but God worked patiently with Gideon, and Gideon gave God his 5 loaves and 2 fish, and God did multiplication and supernatural deliverance. And so I want to encourage you, you and I are like Gideon to one degree or another. We're unlikely to some degree or another. We don't have faith, but God wants to renew it in us. He wants to strengthen it in us and take unlikely vessels like you and me to go and to serve the impoverished of Israel. They may be wealthy on the outside, some may be poor on the outside, but on the inside, when you don't know the love and salvation of Messiah Yeshua, you are impoverished on the inside spiritually. Go like Gideon. Go in the strength that you have. He will be with you. Take those 5 loaves and 2 fish. Give him yourself. Give it your all and take your 5 loaves and 2 fish. And God's going to do great things. Father, thank you for every one of my brothers and sisters under the sound of my voice. Thank you for this mishpucha. I'm just so excited about the future that you have, all the great things you've already done here at Kol Mashiach. I'm just so excited about the future that you have here for Kol Mashiach. I pray that you would, in a fresh new way, anoint Rabbi June, Rebbetzin Jen, and the leadership of this congregation. Give them fresh God-sized dreams and visions, Lord God, for greater and greater fruitfulness, Lord God, and let everyone here have their God-sized dreams to take 5 loaves, their 5 loaves and 2 fish, to make an ever-increasing impact in 2020 and beyond. Father God, thank you that you are a great God and you are with us and your word is truth and you never fail. We might fail, but you never fail. And we bless and honor you in the glorious name of the Messiah of Israel, the lover of our souls, Yeshua. Amen. Thank you for your warm hearts, your warm attention. It's always a delight to be with you. And Jude, I'm so excited, man. Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Yes.